Baba Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Chanda Balava Giravare Hari. Gopi Chanda Balava Giravare Hari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanasha Hari. Yamunatira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari.
Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Prabhupada Vichara Sutera Siddhi Shri Shri Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Iskand Boundary Chariya Shri Prabhupada All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru. Ma Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Sai Sri Mati Bhakti Swami Kanani and this is Sri Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Text 15. Nagasviha Bhuteshu.
Nagasviha Bhuteshu.
Ya Angas Krin Rankusha.
Ya Angas Krin Rankusha.
Ahartasmi Bhujam Sakshad.
Ahartasmi Bhujam Sakshad.
Amritya Shyapi Sangadam.
Amritya Shyapi Sangadam.
Anagasviha Bhuteshu. Angas Krinarankusha.
Angas Krinarankusha.
Ahartasmi Bhujam Sakshad.
Ahartasmi Bhujam Sakshad.
Amritya Shyapi Sangadam.
Amritya Shyapi Sangadam.
Anagasviha Bhuteshu.
Anagasviha Bhuteshu.
Angas Krinarankusha.
Angas Krinarankusha.
Ahartasmi Bhujam Sakshad.
Ahartasmi Bhujam Sakshad.
Amritya Shyapi Sangadam.
Amritya Shyapi Sangadam. Anagasviha Bhuteshu. Anagasviha Bhuteshu. Agastri Nirankusha. Ahartasmi Bhujam Sakshad. Ahartasmi Bhujam Sakshad. Amartya Shyapi Sangadam.
Vaishnavis. To the offenseless.
Bhuteshu.
Living beings.
Ya.
The person.
Agakrit.
Commits offense. Nirankusha. Upstart. Aharta. Asmi. Asmi.
I shall bring forth.
Bhujam.
Arms.
Sakshat.
Directly.
Amartyasya.
Tati.
Even one who is a demigod.
Saangadam.
With decorations and armor. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. An upstart living being who commits offenses by torturing those who are offenseless shall be directly uprooted by me, even though he be a denizen of heaven with armor and decorations. The denizens of the heavenly kingdom are called Amara, or deathless, due to their possessing a long span of life, far greater than that of human beings. For a human being who has only a maximum 100-year duration of life, a span of life spreading over millions of years is certainly considered to be deathless. For example, from the Bhagavad Gita, we learned that on Brahmaloka planet, the duration of one day is calculated to be 4,300,000 times 1,000 solar years. Similarly, in other heavenly planets, one day is calculated to be 6 months of this planet, and the inhabitants get a life of 10 million of their years. Therefore, in all higher planets, since the span of life is far greater than that of a human being, the denizens are called deathless by imagination, although actually no one within this material world, material universe, is deathless. Maharaj Parikshit challenges even such denizens of heaven if they torture the offenseless. This means that the state executive head must be as strong as Maharaj Parikshit so that he may be determined to punish the strongest offenders. It should be the principle of the state executive head that the offender of the codes of God is always punished. So the last few verses have discussed the duty of rulers to enforce the laws of Dharma. And so there's some continuation of what we've been speaking about for a few days. Maharaj Parikshit would forcibly vows here to punish anyone torturing others, even if that person is a great demigod with armor and decorations. In other words, it does not depend upon how powerful the person may be. Maharaj Parikshit would do his duty as the king and punish any offenders. Now, the demigods here are described as amartashasya api, even if one is a demigod. So, of course, it's from the root word amara, or deathless, which Prabhupada explains in this purport. So the focus of Prabhupada in this purport is really about this, on this word amara, what it means to be deathless. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. The demigods are called deathless because their lives are so long compared to ours. Prabhupada explains the day of Brahma is 4,300,000,000 years. The demigods live for 10 million years. But even the demigods are not truly deathless. And Prabhupada called it by imagination. Therefore, he says, in all higher planets, since the span of life is far greater than that of a human being, the denizens are called deathless by imagination, although actually no one within this material universe is deathless. So there's be 4 points I want to discuss in today's class. First, that death is certain for every living entity in the universe. That'll be really short one. Does anyone disagree? No. Okay, we know that. Death is certain. Two, devotees can become free of death, which is very important. Deathlessness comes from remembrance of Krishna. And then, how do we obtain a state of remembrance? So that's kind of where we're going today. Because death is certain, the materialists experience great fear of death, called abhaya. So this abhaya or fear means that they'll do anything to avoid it. We see even in the scriptures, the demigods and demons have this huge fight over, what, the nectar, the amrita of immortality, right? In other words, to extend their long life, they'll have a huge war over it. Not that much different than today. You see Hiranyakasipu did great austerities. For what reason? To become immortal. He tried to cheat death in every possible way he could, although, of course, he was unsuccessful. And today we see that there's tremendous efforts, huge defense budgets to protect everyone from other people, and medical care. People spend unlimited amounts of money on medical care, you know, whatever they have to do to try to somehow get a few more years out of this life. Now, none of this is necessarily bad. I mean, we should take care of the body that we're in because it's our vehicle doing service. But the problem here, the issue I'm speaking about, is this excessive fear or excessive attachment to the body, which comes from false ego. The ahankara, the false ego, is the identification with the body. And because one thinks oneself is the body, then naturally one will do anything to maintain that body. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26:16, says the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is felt in the time factor, which causes fear of death due to the false ego of the deluded soul who has contacted material nature. So, of course, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, time I am, destroyer of the worlds. So the time factor is bringing about death. And, of course, this causes great fear. In the purport in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says, the Lord says, I am ultimate death who takes away everything from the demons. The Lord is death for the demons, but for the devotees he is amrita, eternal life. So, this amrita or deathlessness is very important. But yet materialists make no plans for death because they have no knowledge. What can they do? So basically, since they really can't do a lot except do what they can medically or whatever to extend some time in the body, they try to avoid the topic. So bewildered by Maya, people do not live their life in preparation for death. What Srila Prabhupada told us is really what we should do. We lead this life in preparation for the next. And if we don't think about the next life and just lead our life aimlessly, blindly, then who knows the result? Of course, we have the famous story of Maharaj Yudhisthira. I won't tell those stories quite long, but it's very, very interesting. Anyway, he had to revive his brothers from death. You know, they were poisoned in the lake. Yamaraj, in the form of Yaksha, comes to question him. This is the short version. And so he said he can revive his brothers if he answers a series of questions that were almost posed like riddles. And of course, the one we're probably most familiar with is he asked Maharaj Yudhisthira, what is the most wonderful thing in the world? And Maharaj Yudhisthira answered, and he was correct, the most amazing thing is that even though every day one sees countless living entities dying, he still acts and thinks as if he will live forever. So that's our situation. Now, the desire for immortality is natural because the soul is eternal. Therefore, death is unnatural. Prabhupada said it's an unnatural imposition on the soul. It is. In other words, we are not meant to be born and die. We are meant to be eternal. We are eternal. That is our constitutional position. Therefore, we don't really like death too much. Nobody really does. But this amrita, Krishna is also known as amrita, because he is deathless. He's never born, he's always eternally existing. The devotees are also deathless. In 2:6:19, Srimad Bhagavatam verse says, deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from the anxieties of old age and disease exist in the kingdom of God, which is beyond the three higher planetary systems and beyond the material coverings. Srila Prabhupada's purport says, the transcendental nature is described as amrita. As described in the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is the Lord of immortality. Or in other words, the Lord is immortal, And because he is the Lord of immortality, he can award immortality to his devotees. So how do we achieve that? Seems like a worthy goal, to achieve immortality, be with Krishna. Well, the first point, of course, the sort of the background behind all the rest of the discussion is that ultimately everything is dependent upon the mercy of Krishna and Guru. So by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Śrīla Prabhupāda and our Guru, one can actually achieve this very, very rare goal of immortality. At least it's a rare goal in this material world. But there's a process. It's dependent upon mercy, but there's also, as we know, with sadhana bhakti, it's all dependent upon mercy, but yet we are given a process, and when we attempt to do that process, we show Krishna and our spiritual master our sincerity, then Krishna gives the awards us. Krishna reciprocates in love, reciprocates in so many ways. So the process is of what actually goes on is described very clearly in Bhagavad Gita, starting with 8.5, Antakale Chamameva Smaran Mukva Kalevaram Yapriyati Samadbhavam Yatinas Jetra Sanchaya. Whoever at the end of his life quits the body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there's no doubt. So it's very important at the time of death to remember Krishna. So how will one remember Krishna is the next logical question. Śrīla Prabhupāda explains in the purport, remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And of course, the next verse of the Bhagavad Gita goes on to confirm this. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Prabhupada says, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. Sometimes people ask, or I used to once occasionally think when I was a newer devotee, well, what happens if somehow you've been doing Krishna consciousness, but you just don't think something happens, you don't remember Krishna? Right? We've all probably thought that something. What if I don't remember Krishna at the time of death? Well, the Prabhupada's saying here is during the course of our life, we've accumulated, you know, devotional service. We've accumulated all of this service and remembrance and hearing and chanting of Krishna to the point of death. Prabhupada said, if you don't remember Krishna, Krishna will remember you. Or sometimes Krishna, he said, will forcibly, you know, put himself in your mind. That's very reassuring. I've always thought. In other words, it's not like there's some trick. You didn't think it right there, you know, you missed your opportunity. No. Krishna wants us to succeed. He wants us to come back to him. He wants us to engage in our loving relationship with him in Goloka Vrindavan. So there aren't any tricks. Hopefully if we're sincerely engaging in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will help us. But this does stress the importance of remembering. Remembering is the key point that's mentioned here in Bhagavad Gita and the other scriptures. We often stress hearing and chanting, which of course are absolutely essential. Our first process is the Krishna consciousness. But what does it lead to? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. In other words, by hearing and chanting leads us to remember Krishna. Right? So if one hears and chants about Krishna continually, then he will naturally remember Krishna at all times. So the Smaranam is actually a very central tenet of Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, before he describes all the rules and practices of Vaidhi Bhakti, all 64 of them, he first says, quoting from the Padma Purana, and this is from also in Majjhalila Chaitanya Charitamrita, always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Smartavya Satam Vishnor Vismartavya Majapuchi Sarve vidhi nishetha chur etayor evakimkara. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. So that's of course, a very important statement, one that we're very familiar with. The Srila Prabhupada would quote that, you know, very often, about the importance of always remembering Krishna, never forgetting him. Sounds simple. It's all you have to do. And what is the result? Bhagavad Gita 8.8, he who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. So we have the certainty given to us by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, that one who can remember him surely will come to him. So, how do we learn to always remember Krishna? For most of us, are at the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti. We're doing our regular daily sadhana, and it can be very difficult for neophyte devotees, which is most of us. Some of you, of course, are more advanced, but most of us are more neophyte. And to remember Krishna constantly is very difficult. Have you ever tried it? No, I mean, of course you have. You probably all do it constantly. But, you know, I mean, trying to remember Krishna like every moment. I mean, how long, you know, it's like it's only a few minutes for me before something distracts my mind, right? You know, it's like, how do you remember? Of course, Prabhupada did say if you chant 16 rounds and everything is done for Krishna the rest of the day. So, you know, but still, and actually Vishnu Chakrabarti, of course, says a sort in his, this is in a Bhakti Rasamrita Sinha commentary, I think it's on 1.1.11, he says the word satyatam means every day, not every second. He says, otherwise, constant remembrance is not possible at this stage. In other words, the newer devotees aren't going to be able to remember Krishna every second. He says, otherwise, we would lose faith in junctions if we thought, we can't do that, you know, there's no hope for us. So he says, but at least every day, we have to think of Krishna. So that's not so hard. You know, you chant Hare Krishna, you chant your rounds, you think of Krishna, you hear class, you hear lectures, whatever, and we naturally can think, we can mold our life, as Prabhupada said, in such a way that we can remember Krishna. But practice helps us in remembrance. So the daily sadhana, hearing, chanting, or service all lead to remembrance. And Prabhupada also talked about organizing one's life and making those choices that are going to help us in remembrance. In other words, we want to have a very fertile field for developing our Krishna consciousness. You know, we can put ourselves in a favorable or an unfavorable position. In a purport to 4.22.24, Prabhupada's talking about this word smritya, remembering, means remembering Krishna always. Life should be molded in such a way that one cannot remain alone without thinking of Krishna. We should live in Krishna so that while eating, sleeping, walking, and working, we remain only in Krishna. Our Krishna consciousness and society recommends that we arrange our living so we can remember Krishna. And then Prabhupada goes on to say the different things we do, the way he organized his time, that all leads to helping us remember Krishna throughout the day, the classes, etc. So all these things are essential. But we also need to cultivate internal practice, our internal attitude, our internal mood to try to increase our remembrance, our desire for advancing Krishna consciousness. In other words, if we only depend upon, well, I'm doing it. I chanted my rounds, I did this thing, check off the boxes, you know. No, there needs to be more internal desire for Krishna consciousness as well. To help us, I mean, we will advance, but if we want to advance faster, the desire needs to be there. Vishnu Chakrabarti, Kepur, gave some really nice instructions I was just reading in this little book called Raghavartma Chandrika. And it was translated by Bhanu Swami. It's just like two chapters, you know, very small. But some really interesting discussions. And I'll get back around to remembrance here eventually. So he discusses, first of all, he discusses the process of sadhana bhakti. And we know sadhana bhakti has two parts, right? Vaidhi bhakti and Raghunuga bhakti. They're both part of sadhana. And he explains in this book, it's interesting, the transition from sadhana to raga. You know, which we don't really hear a lot about usually, but of course, Vaidhi Bhakti depends upon Vishnu says scripture, logic, and spiritual instruction, where Raghunuga is more spontaneous attraction to the process of hearing and chanting. Probably remember in one of the early chapters of Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada explains this. You know, he gives the example. He says, in the beginning, a young student rises early in the morning because the alarm goes off or on the order of the spiritual master. Later, as he'll develop more attraction, he'll naturally want to get up, go to Mangal Arati, chant his rounds, etc. In other words, it becomes a more of a natural attraction. And that's the beginning of spontaneous service. You know, that's the beginning as we move towards doing things only on the basis of scriptural injunction or the spiritual master, to be more enthusiastic, more spontaneous towards actually doing those activities. Now, Vishwanath, the way he describes it, he says Raganuga Bhakti is dependent upon lobha, greed. Now, we know that greed's not a good thing. We talk about Kamakrodha Lobha in some context, you know, it's a very negative thing. But he's talking about spiritual greed. And Rupa Goswami also uses the word lobha once described as greed or something like that. So he says there must be a spiritual greed. One must be very eager towards bhakti. There has to be an eagerness. And he says there's actually two causes of this greed. It's not just our own, wonderful qualities that bring us to this point. He says that the two causes of greed are the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of the devotees. He says that can be from past lives or current lives. He says usually it's due to association in this life with association of another Raganuga devotee. So does anybody ever remember associating with the Raganuga Bhakti? Of course, Srila Prabhupada. You know, Srila Prabhupada was on the highest stage of spiritual, you know, prema, you know, completely pure devotee of the Lord. So being on that platform, he can bring us along through all the stages of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes it's described in scriptures. Actually, Vishnu talks about it, Rupa Goswami and others talk about that when one, I know Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about in Jiva Dharma, that when one is in an advanced stage, that one takes shelter of a certain resident of Vrindavan, and tries to emulate, you know, and take instruction from them, internal or whatever. And devotees ask Prabhupada about this. Well, should we be doing this, trying to find this resident of Vrindavan? Prabhupada said, who is that resident of Vrindavan? He says, I am that resident of Vrindavan. You know, wake up. You know, we already have the resident of Vrindavan giving us personal instruction, our spiritual master. So anyway, that's just an aside that I have complete confidence that Srila Prabhupada will take us all back to Godhead somehow or another, sometime or another. He's given us that assurance. But anyway, he goes on to say, and this is why this actually circles around back to the theme of my class, that the central feature of Raganuga, the central feature is one that starts to make an advancement in Krishna consciousness, is remembrance. So advancement in Krishna consciousness results in greater remembrance of Krishna. He says that remembrance is also cultivated by our making the conscious effort of hearing about Krishna, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said we should remember Krishna, but not just Krishna alone, but Krishna, Raya's Radha Krishna, or Krishna with his devotees, going whatever, you know, sort of a rasa one's attracted to, and to his leelas, to his pastimes. So it's never an abstract concept. I'm remembering Krishna, like, you know, here's Krishna out here. No, it's just me and Krishna. You know, that's all, you know, the whole universe consists of me and my relationship to Krishna. No, that's just delusion. Krishna is surrounded by billions and trillions of wonderful devotees. He has countless pastimes going on in the spiritual world, material worlds, all different incarnations. I mean, it's amazing what Krishna's got going all at once. You know, and otherwise it becomes impersonalism. So Krishna, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's Leela. We want to become enthusiastic to try to remember those things. And then that remembrance comes more and more in our daily life. In the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami explained this concept in a similar way. I think this is Srila Prabhupada actually writing this. Yeah, in chapter 18, when one is sufficiently eager to achieve success in devotional service, that eagerness is called samutkanta. This means complete eagerness. Actually, this eagerness is the price for achieving success in Krishna consciousness. Probably heard that one before, something like that. Prabhupada said that a couple times. He said, you know, that's the price, is one has to have this eagerness. Everything has some value, and one has to pay the value before obtaining or possessing it. It's stated in the Vedic literature that to purchase the most valuable thing, Krishna consciousness, one has to develop intense eagerness for achieving success. And Rupa Goswami quotes, and Rupa Goswami's Pajavali, quoted by Ramananda Roy in Mujja 870, says, pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, that is intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. In other words, be eager, grab it. Be greedy for Krishna consciousness. We used to apply that principle a lot to things like Mahaprasada, you know, that one should be intensely eager and greedy to steal the Maha, you know, whatever. Anyway, in this particular verse, Rupa Goswami uses the word lalyam. Lalyam is another word that's used for this eagerness, you know. So, in the Nectar of Instruction, also in the third verse, Srila Prabhupada's commentary on this word utsaha, or enthusiasm, is one of the necessary ingredients is there. You know, so we have enthusiasm, eagerness, greed, similar concepts. Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Vishvanatha's writings, Prabhupada's commentaries. It comes up quite often. This idea that one has to develop, you know, some eagerness. We want to strive for Krishna consciousness, not just be passive necessarily. Of course, we accept whatever Krishna arranges for us, whatever situation, but that's different than our internal process of being enthusiastic for Krishna consciousness. So, how do we get there? Vishvanatha Chakravarti, of course, states that Raga Bhakti, guess what the processes are to obtain Raga Bhakti? Same process as Vaidhi Bhakti. That it's exactly the same. The angas of raga are the same as the angas of vaidhi, beginning with hearing and chanting. In other words, the nine processes of devotional service, that doesn't change. Those processes are the same. We don't stop them. We don't invent something new. The processes are given to us by the acharyas and by Srila Prabhupada. Begins with hearing and chanting. And Vishwanath says, gives special emphasis on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, the devotee wanting to advance Krishna consciousness must hear Srimad Bhagavatam daily. And of course, that's exactly what Prabhupada set up, that we hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day in the morning. Yeah. Also, emphasis on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, daily japa. He quotes Japain Nicham and Nanyadi. One should daily do japa with concentration. And then he also says, remembrance, the chief element of Raganuga, is necessarily dependent on kirtan, since this is the prescribed process for the yuga, and all scriptures declare kirtan to be the most excellent for all paths of bhakti. So what does that mean, all paths of bhakti? Wherever you are, whether you're situated as a beginning neophyte walking in the door, or just seeing the devotees and seeing the kirtan, or whether you're a prema bhakta, you know, someone, if you're in the spiritual world, if you're in Goloka Vrindavan, what are they doing there? A lot of hearing and chanting, right? The gopis are singing the glories of Krishna, Mother Yashoda's, you know, singing songs and talking about the attributes of Krishna, her beautiful young son, hearing and chanting, and they're listening to one another, hearing and chanting is going on eternal. So that's the process. But it's not the same, but particularly even in Kali Yuga, the kirtan is specifically important because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and brought that process as the Yuga Dharma. So I'll conclude here with one more. Srila Prabhupada explains how to remember Krishna. It's from his purport, Srimad Bhagavatam 7261. Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 24 hours daily. Might be a little leniency there. One may have other duties to perform under the direction of the spiritual master, but he must first abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have recommended that the neophyte chant at least 16 rounds. This chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and never forget him. Of all the regular principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential. Again, we come back to the basics of hearing and chanting, that this is the basic process. And everything develops from there. And if we're looking towards how to really advance and become more Krishna conscious or go through different levels through the process of Krishna conscious, it still comes back to the same activities. What changes is really only our internal consciousness around them. In other words, as our hearing and chanting deepens, more so it will become more spontaneous, more will develop an attraction for doing it, and more we will develop remembrance. May not be 24 hours a day yet, but little by little, that attraction to remembering Krishna and Krishna's pastimes will come about. You know, and even if we're only, and even if we just become attracted to chanting Krishna's holy name, that's wonderful because Krishna's not different than his name. Everything is included within the name of Krishna. So, if somehow or another we can develop some attraction and cultivate that attraction with enthusiasm, determination, even greed, as Vishnu says, you know, you always think, well, it's often thought, well, it's bad to really want anything. I shouldn't ask Krishna even to become advanced or this or that or to go back to Godhead. Oh, Vishnu said, be a little greedy. You know, you desire it. Desire to be with Krishna. Desire to achieve Krishna. And that's the beginning. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any questions or comments?
I was thinking how sometimes it's really hard for young mothers and people looking to find time to read. You know, which really fosters in the nutrition. But
yeah.
I was remembering the verse that says, to one who has implicit faith in the spiritual master and in the Vedas, the purports of the Vedas that automatically reveal.
Right, all the imports of the Vedas. Yeah.
And there was another one that came across recently, I think it was in the chapter King Kritu meeting with Gokumaras, that Prabhupada's saying that for someone who's decorated deities, you know, put on the earrings, the garlands, also he says that the purpose of Veda will be automatically revealed. So that spirit of, you know, complete faith and doing, you know, the most you can, Krishna helps you remember.
Absolutely. I was thinking about that the other day. What's the verse that, you know, Krishna keeps what we have and what's the verse? Carries what we lack and preserves what we have. And he says, I'm the guilty in man. And you know, yeah, I mean, you're right. If we have that faith, Krishna will help us along. And we have, how many examples do we have of pure devotees who are illiterate practically, right? I mean, it's not, you don't have to be a great scholar or anything particular, any material qualification. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I have two little anecdotes if I want to just mention something regarding tomorrow's presence. In 1972, on a morning walk in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada was telling the devotees, that Krishna is not an unreasonable or ungrateful person. If you dedicate your entire life, that even at the time of death, even if you don't remember Krishna, Krishna will remember you.
Yeah.
And it's kind of on the opposite to what the words of the Bhagavad Gita were saying. You know, that's the other side is not described here. That one, what one remembers at that time of death.
Mm.
So anyway, just one anecdote that Srila Prabhupada told his student class is that one devotee is complaining that to be so Krishna conscious, as Srila Prabhupada was saying, you have to do so much. He was saying that that's impossible for him. So Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry, hold on to my devotee, I have a key to the back door. And one more vidyo, one Satrik Maharaj was giving a formula to test how Krishna conscious you are. He said, just say Hare Krishna, full attention. Then say one Hare Krishna mantra with that same attention. Then one round with that same attention. And then your 16 rounds with that same attention. Test yourself. Just want to share.
Yeah. I remember when the Japa seminars were popular, I guess back when before COVID or whatever. And one of the things, this one I went to with Satchinanda Swami, one thing that they say is like, you know, just do one mantra at a time. Don't worry about I can't focus on hearing 16 rounds, you know. Do one. Do it like I said, one word. You're Krishna, you're Rama. And then go from there. And because actually, when we do that, we find when we do focus and we hear well, that gives us a lot of inspiration to continue that and continue wanting to hear better and to concentrate and chant with faith and concentration. It's interesting that one verse didn't say that Japan. Yeah, Japan and Nichama Nanya Di. Once you daily do japa with concentration, that's part of the. So that's a good way of developing that concentration. Okay.
Thank you. Wonderful class. Well, I was just thinking, I can relate more about being in a journal. As I get older, I notice my energy is going really fast. So the little service that I do, I notice I put more effort into it because I'm thinking, you know, I can't do so much now. So it's just like, for example, present deities, you know, I used to go through the motion. Now I notice I'm thinking, you know, I'm putting Krishna's clothes on. It's a little bit, but I can see that if you don't do the internal, especially for me, as I get older, I'm thinking, better wake up early, you know, because physically I'm limited, but internally I can, you know, as go as deep as I want to if I'm reading, like you said. And I notice even in preaching, when you preach, you know, you say the same thing, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but now there's more conviction when you talk to people. It's just like people are complaining because of this, the situation, how everything is so bad. And I was telling this one person, I said, why is it bad? And he said, well, you know, I can't get all the things I want. And I said, you really need them? And he said, oh. And, you know, I, because I'm convinced myself, I'm able to put that conviction. And I said, well, why don't you use time to have more relationship with people and God, bring God into your life? And he goes, my pastor, that's really good. That's really good. But the thing is, because you're convinced more of your own personal style, lifestyle, when you say it now, it's, you know, it has more impact on people. So this internal thing is very important for me as I get older. And I think when I read with a little more effort, you know, with a little more concentration. And I can feel more bliss when I do that, even if I read for 10 minutes instead of an hour, because it's a time. And I notice when I preach out there, I told this one couple, I said, treat each other right. And I said, if you put God in the center of your life, I said, you'll have a chance to be happier. And 2 years later, I was walking by, and the boy said, that's the woman who told us we should put God in our life. I didn't remember them. And he said, come. He said, you know, I didn't want to tell you that when you told us, but we were having such a bad time in our relationship. And we decided to do what you said, you know. And he said, now we're together, we're married, and we have such a strong relationship. So I was just thinking, little things you say because you're convinced that it has to do with Krishna, and then it has more potency, too, in preaching.
Thank you very much. A very, very wonderful explanation and description of your own experiences. And I think that you are really, I say, exactly right. In other words, probably as we mature in Krishna consciousness, hopefully Krishna consciousness becomes somewhat more internal. In other words, when we were young, we were really good on the externals. We could run around the parking lot all day, or we could cook in the kitchen for 18 hours. Now it's like I'm exhausted thinking about what we used to do, not even doing it, you know. So hopefully, yeah, and as we age, and of course illness, everything is going to be there, invalidity, but we have the opportunity to go more internal, increasing our hearing and chanting and remembrance. As Vishnath was saying, if you can develop that, and that's not dependent on any circumstances. You know, you can be You can be in bed as an invalid and you can remember Krishna. You can find ways to. And I think you're right, that does influence our service. As we become more internal, as we have more faith and conviction, you're having conviction, it's also faith, I think, too. Then, yes, what we do becomes more important. Our words have more impact, as you're pointing out, some really good examples. And it's nice you got that reciprocation as she came back 2 years later and told you. We don't always get that. We don't know what happens, you know, you talk to somebody and, you know. I met a devotee once who had joined, and they said that one of their biggest influences when I talked to them at a temple a couple of years ago, and I don't know if I even remembered them. You know, it's like, but, you know, because we're representing Prabhupada, because we have the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the scripture, that's all we're doing. Some of it, depending on if we're in a particularly good, you know, spirit that day, you know, depending on our degree of purity, whatever, some of that comes through. And we're able to impart that to others, and, you know, the way that Prabhupada did for us, inspiring Krishna consciousness. Okay, I think we're at the end of...
One more question.
One more? Oh, go ahead.
It's just a comment. I was thinking that as I get older, my memory is going faster, so to remember Krishna is even more harder than it was years ago.
Yeah. But less, memory is not as good? Yeah, well, yeah. You notice that I write down my whole class on my computer? You think I can remember these verses? No. No, so that may not be there. But that's material memory, remember. We're really talking about spiritual remembrance. That's different. You'll be, it doesn't matter whether you forget who you are. You're going to remember Krishna.
You took the wind out of my joke.
What's that?
You took the wind out of my joke.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, actually, it's a good thing you can't remember it. Stuff to remember is useless anyway.
Right.
but like you just said, it's really not just like intellectual exercise of remembering, it's like your consciousness is absorbed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what powers you.
Right.
You know?
Right. Someone told me about a very senior devotee who was in her 80s, who was in a nursing home, and I guess she couldn't even start to speak, except for one thing, the Hare Krishna mantra. She actually, the only thing she could say was Hare Krishna mantra. Amazing.
I heard a story recently that somebody was in a nursing home. I don't know where I heard it. And every day at the same time, she was singing. And all the other patients would come around and they didn't know what she was saying because she was singing in a different language. They were all stand there and listen to her. And then a devotee went there and became a nurse. And she was singing Tulsi prayer every day at the same time she was singing Tulsi prayers.
Mm. So it's all embedded in the consciousness.
Embedded in consciousness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go to the Prabhupada.